This is Changemakers with Katie Gore, finding the right solutions for the affordable housing community.
This week's changemaker is Hunter Kurtz, the founding partner of a Washington, D.C. area-based advisory firm, Gatehouse Strategies. Over the course of his career in affordable housing, Hunter has held several positions at HUD and is the leading expert in both public housing and community development programs. Hunter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Katie. It's great to be here and great to be joining you to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is affordable housing.
Thank you for joining us because we have such a wide array of topics to discuss. And before we take a deep dive into affordable housing, can you just tell us more about you and how you came into the affordable housing industry?
So I've spent almost all of my professional career working in affordable housing. I had an opportunity years ago when I was first starting out my professional life to work for a state senator in Wisconsin. And one of the things I did for her was in my portfolio of issues was affordable housing and community development. And it was just something that really sparked an interest for me. You know, after doing that, I did just a brief other job and then went and sought a position at HUD and started there as a political appointee in the Bush administration, working with in the Office of Community Planning and Development and eventually in the Office of the Secretary. And after the Bush administration ended, I was talking to some really a mentor of mine at HUD, who was a career civil servant. He was like, you know, we're going to be hiring shortly. You should consider. And I applied, and about 6 months later, ended up as a career civil servant and spent a number of years at HUD, working primarily with the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and really, you know, got to really see sort of the way HUD works from the inside, if you will. And after doing that for a number of years, I was working closely with the city of Detroit, and they asked me to come out and be the deputy director of their housing department, a housing revitalization department. And so this is back in about 2015. So I left HUD, moved my family to downtown Detroit, and started work for the city. And we just fell in love with the city here and the work we were doing here. And I spent a number of years here and then was asked by Secretary Carson to come back and be his deputy chief of staff. Did that, and then they asked me to be the assistant secretary for public and Indian housing, and did that for a number of years. Really, I got to say, that was probably the best job I've ever had. Just really, you know, waking up every morning and getting to help house roughly 3.5 million families in America is just one of the, you know, it's somebody in this profession. I just felt like that was the being able to do that and help those that many people is really just a it truly is a great honor and a great privilege. And it's something I really enjoyed.
You know, when I met you several years ago, it was at the National Leased Housing Association, and you were speaking on a panel in your role at HUD. And I just remember thinking, this is a practitioner's practitioner. This guy gets it. And I made a point to go up and meet you. And I really think it was this time that you're talking about that you worked at Detroit. You had that ground level operational experience, and yet you were blending it with understanding the impacts of policy. It was such a unique mesh of the two concepts. And it, you know, you really highlighted what you did in your professional career at HUD. Speaking about the challenges of affordable housing, has it changed much from those first days on the job as that special assistant to the HUD secretary?
I think the more it changes, the more it stays the same. You know, I think the classic example is the introduction of the RAD program in the Office of Public, you know, in the public housing sphere. You know, they introduced RAD in 2012 because there was around a 30 to 35 billion dollar backlog, and today when they do the estimates, it's the exact same number. Now things have changed and units have come off, allowing sort of that number not to grow and sort of stay stagnant. But we still face the same fundamental issues of the need of more supply, and you know, the access to programs to help people graduate successfully from public housing and other forms of affordable housing. So, you know, things have changed, but they really, you know, at the same day, it's just sort of the fundamental, we need more roofs. And that's, you know, that's a hard nut to crack, if you will.
When you left public service, I guess it was maybe a year ago or so, to start Gatehouse Strategies, what was the driving factor for you guys to start this endeavor? And, you know, is this more roofs concept? You know, is that part of your strategic objective of what you're doing here at Gatehouse?
Yeah, you know, Gatehouse is a consulting firm providing, you know, assistance, not just in, you know, in my realm of the community development sort of public housing sectors, but also we do a lot of work in the financial services and mortgage lending and servicing realms. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this was it was myself and then Brian Montgomery, who is the former deputy secretary and the only person to be the FHA commissioner twice, as well as three other seasoned affordable housing specialists, Mike Marshall, who worked with us at HUD, as well as Keith Becker and Dror Oppenheimer, who worked with us at HUD. But Keith and Dror both spent years in Fannie and Freddie working in the mortgage realm. What I like to say is, and sort of getting on my soapbox, I guess, a little bit here, but I think that the greatest high in life, other than, you know, marrying my wife and the birth of my children, is the opportunity to be able to provide someone with a safe, decent, and affordable place to live. You provide somebody the keys to a new home, and you've truly fundamentally changed their life, not just their lives, but their children's lives and other family members' lives. Like this is, in my mind, you know, like that. This is why I do what I do. This is why I get up every morning. And starting Gatehouse Strategies allowed me to continue to assist others. You know, we have affordable housing developers as clients. We have public housing authorities and local governments as clients. You know, allow them to assist and help them continue that mission. And that's why I you know, I'm glad to be here with Brian and Dror and Keith and Mike. I'm excited about the work we have been doing and continue to do over the next few years.
What do you think are the sweet spots or the projects that you know, maybe want to highlight the most that you're doing at Gatehouse? Like lending and servicing is one aspect, but maybe mm-hmm. some of the community development or the developer clients, like some of those types of projects that you're working on.
Well, one of the projects I'm really excited about, I'm working with right now with a public housing authority, and actually just a few minutes before this had a fairly long discussion with our developer client about this, is this new opportunity that HUD has put together, the Fair Cloth to RAD opportunity. And for those of you that don't know, you know, the Rental Assistance Demonstration, RAD program, was created back in 2012 to help meet this capital needs requirements for public housing authorities. Again, I think I mentioned earlier that the $35 billion that they're sort of funding that's needed. And what it does is it allows you to convert, you know, from Section 9, which is your standard public housing, to Section 8 project-based voucher units or project-based rental assistance units. And in doing that, one of the big advantages is then you can go out and leverage that income you're getting from HUD with a bank, with, you know, other private sector funding, and get be able to build new or rehab new units. HUD's a lot of housing authorities to do is, you know, these fair cloth units are basically the government in the 90s set a limit to the number of public housing units every housing authority could use. And, you know, as time has gone on through natural disposition and demolition, most housing authorities have a handful of units that are just sort of sitting on their shelves. They can attach an ACC contract and get that unit if they had the money to build an actual physical unit. What this will allow them to do is convert those units through the Fair Cloth to RAD process to go out and build around 220,000 new units across the country, because that's the current Fair Cloth limit that's not being utilized right now. So we were helping some housing authorities with that, and it's something I'm really excited about, because it's a very, I don't want to say easy, because nothing dealing with HUD is easy, but it is a, in the world of everything we deal with, it's a fairly straightforward way to build and get new affordable housing units for this country.
Well, that's definitely a way to put more roofs, as you say, into our national landscape. And it's going to take a combination of things, you know, whether it's the PBVs or more tax credit. Specifically, you know, there's some more housing first policies that are, you know, moving through right now. Do you think there's anything more that can be done? And I know that's a really loaded question, especially given the fact that you've come from HUD.
It's interesting, with the estimates of a quarter of people are being housed with affordable housing programs that could be housed with affordable housing programs. I always said that I don't think we can just solely build our way out of this problem. I think finding new ways and developing new units is a must, and it really needs to happen. I mean, I think we've all seen the impact of sort of, you know, not as much building coming out of the Great Recession that really needed to happen, and not just on the affordable markets, but across all the markets. So there is a need for building, but I also think we need to really look at programs and ways that we can help successfully graduating people living in public housing and affordable housing, so that they are earning income that they can go out to the market and get themselves a market rate unit. Because once you do that, that opens up that unit also for somebody else to move into. So not only have you successfully helped and accomplished our mission of helping that person graduate, but then we can find and someone else who needs that unit and use it for them.
One of the things that we often talk about in affordable housing is not just this tension between the supply and the demand, but all of the special populations that also need additional attention. And I want to highlight this because you're our first guest who's actually been on Sirius XM. And, you know, whether that's a unique incorporation of how to get our message out, or whether there just seemed to be a good opportunity here. But you spoke with Julie Mason on Sirius XM's, you know, morning show to discuss veteran homelessness in mm-hmm. America, which is estimated, you know, depending on what you look at 37,000 veterans on any given night. What was your messaging there, and how did you get on Sirius XM?
Well, it was part of some work that I do now with the Bipartisan Policy Center, their Housing Advisory Council that I sit on. They asked me to speak on this issue, and it is an important part of some of the work I did as the Assistant Secretary for Public and Indian Housing, is being one of the two components of the HUD VASH vouchers, which basically are used by local continuum cares and local governments to house homeless veterans. And it's a combination of work that's done with local level, as well as with the Department of Veterans Affairs and Department of Housing and Urban Development. Classic government, it's probably substantially more complex than it needs to be. And there are some, and maybe I'm biased because I came from the Office of Public and Indian Housing, but there's a lot of work that I think could be done at the local level, especially at the local veterans hospital level, to help identify the veterans so we could use these vouchers and get these folks housed immediately. Because, you know, like you said, it's just not acceptable that in this country we have 30,000 veterans that are on the street every night homeless. I mean, that's just not that's completely not acceptable in our nation. It's a program that still has a lot of work to be done. I know it's actually the issue I probably testified the most on in front of Congress, which I think is a good sign that the Congress is looking for ways to improve on this program. And I think you can, you know, there are a couple communities, New York City for one, that have had some flexibilities provided to them by HUD and the VA as a sort of a test pilot, if you will. And they've had a lot of success in housing veterans better than other communities because of the removing some of the regulatory barriers that we in the federal government like to place in front of ourselves to accomplish anything.
Well, between the regulatory barriers and just the general kind of sludging process of referrals, You know, there's some inherent efficiencies on the front end before you can even work to try to identify a unit. And on a previous podcast, we've had an individual who actually had a, you know, built by veterans, you know, leased to veterans, you know, housing veterans initiative. And it, I believe it was in Austin, Texas, and it was really unique and creating a niche for veterans. And I think it's going to take several different initiatives from different non-traditional means, not just those vouchers, that's going to be able to reduce some of those numbers as well.
No, I agree. I think it sort of goes back to my earlier point, but, you know, it's not, there's no magic bullet. I think folks think for in, you know, are looking for that silver bullet or magic bullet, if you will, to solve a lot of these, the problems that we're dealing with in sort of the affordable housing and community development realm. It's more, I like to call it the magic shotgun blast. It's going to be a lot of different little things. And that's the only way we're going to really help change and impact poverty, really, in this nation is a sort of a scattered shot approach, really, because some programs will work well in one community and other programs won't work. And the same program won't work in another community for various reasons that, you know, really are at the local level. That's why I've always been a proponent of allowing you know, local governments, public housing authorities, as much leeway as they can possibly have to deal with the issues, because you know, the issues that we dealt with here in the city of Detroit are vastly different than the issues you would deal with in a community in rural Tennessee, for instance. One size cookie cutter approach really, really is not helpful for that.
Absolutely. Well, hang on, Hunter. We have to take a break, but coming up in the second part of my conversation with Hunter Kurtz, the founding partner of Gatehouse Strategies, Hunter talks about why he was so impressed by the housing industry's actions during the pandemic.
I'm just thankful for everyone at HUD, everyone at the local level, who really just burned the midnight oil during a real trying time to ensure that all of our residents were getting the support and everything they needed to survive.
Thanks for listening to Changemakers with Katie Gore. To find out more about Katie, go to quadel.com. That's QUADEL.com. This has been a production of Forbes Books Radio.